Welcome to this edition of Buy Hold Sell, brought to you by Livewire Markets, Australia's number one website for expert investment analysis. Buy Hold Sell is a weekly show where two fund managers share their views on a selection of listed companies in their area of expertise. Buyers and sellers are what make the market, and you'll find that our guests don't always agree on the stocks being covered. Hit the subscribe button on your podcast player to be the first to receive new episodes each week. If there are stocks you'd like our guests to discuss, let us know by leaving a comment in the review segment. Remember, the views expressed in this show are not recommendations to invest. You should seek appropriate investment advice before making any investment decisions. And of course, please read the disclaimer in the show's notes. Let's get into the show.
Hello and welcome to Buy Hold Sell, brought to you by Livewire Markets. My name is James Marley, and today we are talking something that I know our readers are going to love. It is small cap stocks with sustainable dividends. And joining me on the line to discuss income and small caps, I've got Simon Conn from Investors Mutual and Roger Montgomery from Montgomery Investment Management. Now, Roger, our first stock today is Fiducian Group. It's a bit of a special one for Livewire readers because Ivan, who is one of our regular readers, said it's been the absolute standout dividend stock in his portfolio over the last 7 or 8 years. I think it's been compounding 18% dividend growth since 2013. Are you a buy, hold, or a sell on Fiducian?
Well, for the reasons your subscriber said, it's a hold. If you own it, you don't mind owning it. Look, we live in a post-Royal Commission world. Most financial services firms are moving away from vertical integration. I've seen it firsthand when we're on the road meeting with advisors. And this company appears to be navigating that change pretty well, despite being vertically integrated. Funds under advice are on track to nearly double over the last 5 years. Revenue's been growing at about 12% over the last 4 years, and EPS is up 16% a year. So I can understand why the dividend's been going up at the rate you mentioned, James. Now, some reckon that the company doesn't have the scale to compete in the industry, but look, I know the owners of this business, I know the founders of this business, and I reckon this is all about relationships. And they've got a 35% stake in the business. They're clearly passionate. They're clearly aligned with shareholders. And for the same reason, I wouldn't buy it for corporate action, but the platform and the multi-manager funds management business is very, very attractive. So it's a hold.
Okay. Simon, are you a buy, hold, or a sell on Fiducian?
It's a hold at these current prices. You know, just over 20 times last year's profit. It's been positioned well by Indy and the team. So we're really strong founder management, strong investment performance they've driven out of their multi-manager business. But you know, a lot of good news is priced in. And I think they've benefited from the dislocation we've seen through the Royal Commission. So maybe, you know, going forward, the growth might slow. So to some extent, particularly with equity markets being at sort of fairly elevated levels, that always makes you cautious with businesses that are linked to some extent to the financial markets.
Okay. Staying with you, Simon, Smart Group, the yield was looking a lot more attractive at the beginning of September. It subsequently received a bid and the shares jumped nearly $2. Are you a buy, hold, or sell on Smart Group?
Yeah, well, controversial. I'm a seller of this business at these current prices because we've seen TPG and many other private equity firms approach companies and then not proceed with the bids. So this is an approach by TPG. It's conditional, non-binding. So I think there's questions about whether they execute that. And look, we own SG Fleet in the fleet leasing market, trading on 15 times and a 4.5% yield. We much prefer that business, better value, and I think really well positioned going forward with the technology platform that they're putting in place to improve the service offering for their customers.
Okay. Roger, Smart Group, is it buy, hold, or sell for you?
Yeah, I'm going to stick my neck on the block and go the opposite way to Simon. I'm going to put it on as a buy. It is under takeover, as you mentioned. I'm always interested in what we call post-announcement arbitrage opportunities, and there's still a 12% gap here. I actually think this deal proceeds. In fact, I think the strength of the initial bid, being granted exclusivity, and Aware Super indicating that they'll participate in the proposal as an equity co-investor shows the intent to complete. That's just my view. The discount exists because a few deals have recently fallen over, as Simon mentioned. I think this is a simpler business. It's got a cleaner balance sheet. Look, there's always a risk that a deal that's highly conditional, as this one is, doesn't complete. But I'd back this one going through, so it's a buy.
Okay, Roger, staying with you. Retail was a, you know, REITs more specifically were a bit of a challenging place in 2020. The one we're talking about now is Charter Hall Retail REIT. It's still 20% below its pre-pandemic highs, but there is a dividend rebuilding story taking place there. Are you a buy, hold, sell on CQR?
I've got a sell on it. And the reason, there's a good reason for that. I actually think that bricks and mortar retail, as from an owner's perspective, from a retail property owner's perspective, was in decline even before COVID hit. And I don't think we're going back to the kinds of rental growth rates that we've seen before. And I'm not sure that I want to be owning an asset class the lowies were prepared to exit. There's an old saying, don't buy what the lowies are selling. You know, they left retail property for good. The reality is they might come back. And so there's a possibility that owning retail makes sense at a discounted price. But look, I actually think for income, I'd rather own a property trust with tenants that suffer less volatility or sensitivity to the economy. For example, healthcare or the one I'm going to mention in the next part of the program.
Well, hold on to that for now, Simon. You can give us your view on Charter Hall Retail REIT. As I mentioned, it's still coming back from the post-pandemic, trying to regain those post-pandemic highs. But the yield story is getting better. Buy, hold or sell?
Yeah, with interest rates at these levels, James, I think it's still a buy. You know, it's trading around NTA, yielding over 6%, and really well managed by Greg Chubb, who I know was out in the market all through COVID, you know, negotiating with the tenants and making sure that they were well looked after and were back on their feet, you know, in quick sticks. A large part of the portfolio is underpinned by Coles and Woolworths. And I think we've seen the strength of those retail properties perform through COVID. People are spending more time in the regions and in the suburbs. And this is a portfolio of basically the last mile logistics between, you know, the consumer and their home for a lot of daily needs, whether it's, food or the butcher shop or the pharmacy. You know, this portfolio of assets really fulfills that need. And I think, you know, it's more relevant than ever. So, you know, I think that's one of the things that's not going away is that the convenience. Even when people buy their groceries online, often they still do a click or collect, or they'll forget, you know, three or four things and they'll have to go and visit the local supermarket. So there's still strong foot traffic. You know, the portfolio, the weighted average lease expiry is pretty, you know, low. There's only a couple of percent expiring in the next couple of years. Gearing's okay. So, you know, at over 6% yield with interest rates where they are, I think it's still quite attractive.
Okay. Well, I've asked both of you to bring along the next 100 stocks or a small company with some attractive dividend prospects. Simon, let's hear from you first. What's your dividend pick?
Yeah, a little company called Propak, which I think, you know, the complexion of that business has changed quite a bit over the last two or three years. And new management team in place as well. So Tim Welsh runs the business. It's really the second largest player in the flexibles packaging sector of the market. So packaging generates, you know, pretty consistent cash flows. And we've seen, you know, the business, you know, deliver pretty good outcomes through a pretty difficult time. So behind Amcor, they're the number two in the flexibles market. And there's a strong tail of smaller operators. And I think that presents the opportunity for this business to grow through acquisitions and integrating those. And also, the business has a strong footprint. They're consolidating sites. They've just closed their Chester Hill site, which delivers, you know, $7 million of savings to the P&L this year, which underpins your earnings growth. So on a P/E of 9x and yielding sort of 3.5%, 4%, we think that's very attractive, and we think that'll grow nicely over the next 3 to 4 years as they continue to consolidate the market. And also, I think, you know, great opportunity to continue to win share against imports because of what's happened with COVID. A lot of customers are looking for supply chains closer to home and an innovative sort of customer responsive need. Your packaging supplier such as Propak should do well.
All right. Thanks for that, Simon. Roger, now it's your chance. What's your small cap dividend stock, the X100 stock you wanted to talk about today? Yeah.
So this is very much about income. We actually like the Waypoint REIT, and I'd prefer that over a retail REIT. They own petrol station sites that are leased to top-tier tenants, for example, 7-Eleven, Liberty, and the Shell Coles Express convenience chain. Now, during COVID, being an essential service, they operated throughout. They collected 99.9% of their rent in 2020. They enjoy 100% occupancy. WALE is about 10 and a half years, and they've got 3% weighted average rent reviews. It yields 5% plus, maybe 6%, with an estimated dividend per share growth equivalent to about 3%. So that's a total shareholder return of 9%. And in the real world, their assets are actually being sold for 20% above what they've valued them on their books. So there's potential for revaluations. And that's on top of about $189 million uplift in NTA for the 6 months to last June. I've personally invested in unlisted property trusts after identifying potential for revals, and they can be incredibly lucrative. They also have an internal management structure. There's no key shareholders in the way, so there's always the possibility of corporate action. And in the meantime, the company's announced $150 million capital return back on the 30th of July, which is subject to settlement, of course, from the sale of some of the properties that they've sold. And that should occur this half.
All righty, folks. Well, for those of you that have got dividends coming out of banks and looking for an alternative, it's worth dropping down to some of those smaller companies, a great variety of sectors, small companies, but with some really good yields. Thanks to Roger and Simon for sharing their views today. And remember, if you enjoyed this video, don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're uploading fresh content every week.
Thanks for listening to Buy, Hold, Sell, brought to you by Livewire Markets, Australia's number one source of expert investment analysis. Register for free at livewiremarkets.com to discover more exclusive investing articles, videos, and podcasts.